Information, please. Wake up, Mr. and Mrs. America. Time to stump the expert. The catch-as-catch-can battle of the great American public versus our quartet of mental giants continues. You want to get into this question-and-answer game that has the whole country by the mental ears? Well, here's how. Send us questions and the correct answers. If acceptable to our editors, it will be presented to a board of experts for the first time during each broadcast. Any question accepted will win $2 for the person who submits it. Any question the experts cannot answer will win an extra $5. The contest will be refereed by our master of ceremonies, Mr. Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Clifton Fadiman.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. I want to begin this evening by reminding our audience that our experts are real experts and no fooling. Last week, for instance, John Kieran, fourth columnist of the New York Times, gave you fair warning that Joe Louis would win his fight with Smaley. And he did. Information, please, never fail. Take a bow, Miss Kieran. Now, serving along with Mr. Kieran on the jury tonight are Franklin C. Adams, director of the famous Conning Tower column in the New York Post, a self-confessed humorist, Mark Duffield, day news editor of the New York Herald Tribune, a self-confessed journalist, and as our guest of honor, we are happy to welcome the first woman to sit in on Information Please board, Carmel Snow, editor-in-chief of Harper's Bazaar and a self-confessed feminist. And now, folks, remember, this quartet hasn't seen these questions in advance. This is an informal, spontaneous, unrehearsed, uninhibited, unrestrained program. Questions are addressed to the entire board. Any member who wishes to may raise his or her hand and try to answer the question I will read. The question must be answered by one member, except where it's composed of more than two parts. In that case, the board may cooperate. But if any part is answered incorrectly, $5 is forfeited. When you hear that cash register sound, that means $5 is actually being paid out to the lucky questioner. And now, oh, that sound, that's just Mr. Adams coining an epigram. Enough of this frivolity. Now, my fine feathered experts, I want you and your imagination to travel back. Far back to your childhood. Okay, start traveling. Mr. Kieran, you reached your childhood yet?
Yes, sir.
Stop. First question. From Miss Rose Hilton, 246 West End Avenue, New York City. Recite or sing. If you answer this, Mr. Adams, just figure on reciting it, please. Recite or sing well-known nursery rhymes which employ for their theme accident, fright, starvation, and thievery. Stressful question. Right? Starvation, thievery, accident. You can begin with thievery, fright, starvation, accident, whatever you please.
What's that last one? Thievery?
Thievery, yes. You ever hear of it, Miss Kent? Thievery.
Well, thievery.
Yeah, thievery, that's right.
All right,
Miss Kieran.
What's the first one now?
First one is accident. It needn't start with
Jack
accident.
Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water.
That's correct. That's nothing. Knows it. That's correct. The next, fright.
Well, skip that for a minute and give me the next
one. All right. Starvation.
Old Mother Hubbard lived in a cupboard.
That's right. That's
went
right.
to a cupboard and so
right.
forth.
He knows starvation.
Thievery. Half he was a Welsh man, half he was a thief.
That's correct. If there are any Welsh listening in, I want to remind them that is an eternal libel on the Welsh race. How will it ever happen? And fright, finally. I think I scared Mr. Sheeran. I'm frightened.
Does this cost me $5 to sit here and think?
It may. While Mr. Sheeran is sitting and thinking, how about volunteers from some of the others? Fright. Any nursery rhyme involving somebody being scared?
Well, there's one that ends up poor cat fright.
Cat fright.
Yes.
Do you think that has anything to do with real fright or terror, or is it just a name?
No, I think that's just a nickname.
Just a nickname. I'm afraid we can't let it come in. Then how about it, Karen?
How about the goblins will get you if you don't flash out?
It's a very nice poem, but it's not a nursery rhyme. James Whitcomb Riley, I think. Give another 5 or 6 seconds on it. Too bad, 3 out of 4. Can't get it, Miss Kieran. Mrs. Oh. Duffield, Mrs. Snow.
Oh, no. Can't.
Miss Adams. They're really doing their best, folks. All right. I'm sorry that's going to cost us $5. Now, the one dealing with fright, of course, is Little Miss Muffet. That's on a top. Eating her curds and waves. 3 out of 4. All right. Next one is for Mr. William Sheehan, 461 West 163 Street, New York City. And this is a triple threat sports question, composed of 3 parts. 1. What ball player was recently fined $250 for refusing to change his shirt? That's what it says. You'd rather lose $250 than lose his shirt, apparently. Mr. Kieran, I think we ought to start you on that.
Yes, that's a pitcher by the name of Johnny Allen of the Cleveland Indians, who has won 9 games and lost 1 game this season. And he was ordered to take off his shirt at the Yankee Stadium recently because it had holes in it, like a ventilated spinnaker. And he refused to take off the shirt and was fined $250 by his club.
Thank you very much. How do you know all these things? What a lot of useless information you carry around your head. Try this one. What ball player was dropped from a pennant-winning club because he jumped into a lake? That's what it says. Because he jumped into a lake.
Yes, that's right. There was a ball player by the name of Al DeVorma was with the pennant-winning Yankees of 1922. The bags were packed up in Chicago one time, and he was sitting on a lakefront, and another player dared him to jump in with his store clothes on, and he did. And Miller Huggins was a conservative man, and he thought that that was a little bit too much to have on a championship ball club, and he sold him to Boston.
Pretty good. You want to continue that in our next issue. You know, folks, I hardly believe myself that these are unrehearsed programs when I listen to Mr. Kieran, but they really are. Third, did any runner ever win an Olympic race after breaking his leg? Just let's have a short, snappy, correct answer.
I know 2 runners who won.
He knows 2. No biographies, just
All right, a sewing machine salesman, 40 years old, from Finland, named Albin Stenroos, won the marathon in 1924 at Paris, and John Edward Lovelock, a medical man in a hurry, won the 1,500-meter Olympic championship in world record time at Berlin in 1936.
That's absolutely correct. Now, Miss Karen, you just rest on your laurels for a moment, and we'll let someone else have a chance. This comes from Mr. William Barish, 5913 Alma Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. What 3 public offices did Franklin D. Roosevelt hold before becoming the President of the United States? 3 public offices. Don't whisper the answers. I know the audience is brighter than the experts. Miss Adams.
Vice President of the United States.
Franklin D. Roosevelt. Franklin D.
Governor of New York.
Governor of New York is correct, yes.
Assistant Secretary of the Navy.
That's correct. And the third? Mr. Duffield, on that. What third public office? How about it, boys? How about it? Mr. Carroll,
help.
Duffield are looking at each other, getting no response.
Might have been sheriff of Dutchess County.
No, it was not. It's going to cost us $5, I'm afraid. Well, the third was, of course, his first public office in 1909. He was a member of the New York State Legislature, a state senator, I believe. I think we should have known that, boys. I think we should have known that. Next question. From Mrs. R.S. Helen Bosworth, 283 St. Paul Street, Brookline, Massachusetts. Now, attend carefully. What author created these famous detectives? I'm going to read 8 detectives, and you'll have to name 6 out of the 8. First, Sherlock Holmes, volunteer. Sherlock Holmes, it's Duffield.
Conan Doyle.
Correct. The second, Philo Vance. Mr. Adams.
S.S. Van Dyne.
Mr. Adams, do you remember Ogden Nash's very bitter couplet about Philo Vance?
I might, but that isn't in the question.
Isn't it? I'm not paid for this, so I'll tell you what the couplet is. Philo Vance needs a kick in the pants. Don't you know? Reggie Fortune is next. Reggie Fortune? Don't know their detective story. Reggie Fortune. Well, that's one out. H.M. Bailey is the author of the creator of the famous detective Reggie Fortune, the Reggie Fortune Mystery. Lord Peter Wimsey. Lord Peter Wimsey.
That's the next one, you know.
Lord Peter Wimsey. Not Wimsey, Wimsey. W-I-M-S-E-Y. I'm afraid I'll have to count that.
Dorothy Sayers.
Dorothy Sayers is correct. Just came in by the skin of your teeth, Mr. Adams. Very good. Perry Mason. Perry Mason. They read a lot, folks, but they don't read detective stories. Perry Mason.
They used to publish a youth companion.
That's irrelevant. Perry Mason. It's an American, very famous American detective story writer named Earl Stanley Gardner. That's two. A.Z. Mayo. A.Z. Mayo. A.S.E.Y. Mayo, M-A-Y-O. I think I've got them on the run now. C.B. Atwood Taylor, famous Cape Cod mystery stories, I think they are. Ellery Queen. The answer to that is sticker, Mr. Adams.
Ellery Queen.
That's correct. Arsène Lupin. Arsène Lupin. Or Lupin, if you wish. Very famous, old-time French, as you can very well imagine, detective story writer, named Maurice LeBlanc. They only got 4 out of 8 there. That's only cost us $5, I'm afraid. Next time you come here, be sure that you've read detective stories. Next one comes from Mr. Bob Welkner, Jr., 21 Bryan Street, Uniontown, Pennsylvania. Name 5 wildflowers that are named after people. Not people that are named after flowers. That is, rose wouldn't be correct. 5 wildflowers that include in their names the name of the people.
Latin, Latin or English names?
How many languages do you know, Monsieur?
Well, I can try some of these flowers. There's the Deutzia, Bougainvillea.
That's correct, that's correct. I haven't those down on my card, but that's quite correct. That's 2. How about Mr. Adams? Help us.
Fuchsia.
Is that a man?
That's named after a man.
It is named after a man. I didn't mean exactly that type of name. Black-Eyed Susan would be an example of one.
Johnny Jump.
I beg your pardon?
Johnny Jump.
That's right. That's 4. When you have one more.
Bachelor's Button.
Why, Mr. Adams, I think that's a joke. No.
Well, that's not named after a woman.
No.
Well, would you count a violet? Would you call that?
I might let it in. I'd rather have something better than that. One more. Flowers that include first names.
Daisy.
No. Seems to me that the person is named after the flower. 4. I think I ought to give them a
Solomon Steele.
Solomon Steele is correct. That's right. That's 5. I can think of one with Jerry in it. Just occurred to me. Jerry. How about it? Jerry? Very easy. Jerry Aniel. Jerry Aniel. Okay. Let's go on. This comes from Miss Ella Hole, 449 West Bringer Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. What do the following numbers suggest? Name 5 out of 6. 7-Eleven.
Dice
for Mr. Tyrion. He knows that one, too. 212. 212.
Is this a game?
No.
Boiling point of water.
That's correct, Mr. Tyrion.
Fahrenheit.
Yes. 40 and 8. Don't tell us the history of Mr. Fahrenheit. 40 and 8, Mr. Adams.
Sign on a French car.
Yes, meaning what?
40 men and 8 horses.
That's correct.
Horses lengthwise.
186,000. Mr. Duffy.
Speed of light.
That's correct. 400. Mr. Snow, have you...
Society,
yes, quite correct. 600. Miss Adams?
The number at the charge at Balaclava.
Very good, very good. The Light Brigade. That's correct. That's done outside. I think I'll put in one more just for fun. How about the number 7? None of you can answer that. This is the 7th broadcast of information, please. The next question from Miss Alice Landau, Chicago, Illinois, is this. Can you name an article of women's clothing, currently or recently fashionable, that derives from a native costume of each of the following countries? Now, Mrs. Snow, I imagine you want to take this, and please don't get the idea that I know the answer. Whatever you say is okay with me. Spain.
Spain. Estadio.
That would be correct. Yes, very good. Austria.
Dirndl, of course.
A dirndl. Yes. How do you spell dirndl?
I couldn't possibly.
D-I-R-N-D-L. I only saw it today, and I didn't know what it meant.
Did you really see it spelled D-I-R-N-D-L?
Yes.
Well, I think that's wrong. I think it's D-R-N-D-L. Oh. They say no. Don't ring up $5 on me. Scotland, Mrs. Snow.
Scotland. Plan.
Yes. France.
Breton Salem.
That's quite correct. Greece. Greece is a
sandals?
Do you think?
Sandals or, well, tunics.
Tunics, yes, very good. I have something down here called
cosmetic.
Cosmetic? Oh, Greece, I see for me. Adams, I see exactly what you mean, but I just don't like what I see. That's all. Russia.
Russian blouse, yes. Cossack coat.
Yes, quite right. And finally, China.
The coolie coat.
Coolie coat would be correct. Hmm? That's quite correct. Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Frank. Mr. Frank A. Battle of 288 Park Street, Hackensack, New Jersey, wants to know how many men were on base when Casey struck out. How many men were on base when Casey struck out? Why, folks, this is the first time I've seen an expression of amazement or astonishment on Mr. Kieran's face.
No.
And I've been working together.
No, there were 3 on base.
There were 3 on base?
Yes.
Name them, give their weight and height. Now, what are 3 on base, Mr. Kieran?
Well, I believe it's so described in the poem by Mr. Thayer, but I don't remember it all.
Well, you've got the name of the author right, but otherwise you're wrong. I'm sorry to say that's going to cost us $5.
How many were on?
There were only 2 on, but Flynn let fly a single to the wonderment of all, and the much-despised Blakey tore the cover off the ball, and when the dust had lifted and they saw what had occurred, there was Blakey's face a second and Flynn a hugging third. That makes Blakey and Flynn on base, correct?
Yes, too.
We've got him finally, folks.
Craig and Hugh got up to go. And deep to stare the
Now, so far, we have lost $20. Doing just middling well. Next question from Mr. Rufus F. Meyer, 233 Wimbledon Road, Rochester, New York. To whom do the following official titles belong? There are 4 official titles. 1, Keeper of the 24 Golden Umbrellas. Keeper of the 24 Golden Umbrellas. They look pretty blank. They look blanker. They look blanker.
Somebody in uniform downstairs.
Not official. Keep the 24 golden umbrellas. The King of Siam is the answer. The King of Siam. You knew that, Mr. Sharon, didn't you?
Now I know it.
Yes. 2, Conquering Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Mr. Duffy.
King of Ethiopia.
Late king of Ethiopia.
Ex-king.
Former king.
Don't quarrel, boys and girls. Don't quarrel.
Ex in time.
3, Defender of the Faith. Defender of the Faith. Mrs. Snow?
No.
I'm afraid not.
Monarch of Portugal.
No, I'm afraid not. Mr. Duffy.
I'm sorry, the King of England.
King of England is correct, but I'm afraid we've gotten it wrong. The first 2 were wrong. And 4, the Great White Father. The Great White Father. Mr. Adams.
The President of the United States.
Yes, whose official title is that, and who gives him that official title?
The Indians.
The Indians is correct. However, we only got 2 out of 4 on that. We must bring up $5 for Mr. Meyer, who brought us in the office. Next, this is for Mrs. H.F. Blanchard, 37 Reed Avenue, Crestwood, New York. Very simple question. Name these gals. Spelled G-A-L-S. Mr. Adams, would you like to take a chance on naming these gals? 1. Who dwelt among the untrodden ways?
Lucy.
Lucy, yes. Who was Lucy, was
it? Wordsworth.
Wordsworth. Little Lucy. That's correct. 2. We've got to get 4 out of 5 on this. 2. Who lived many and many a year ago in a kingdom by the sea? Any other volunteers in case Mr. Adams doesn't?
Annabel Lee.
Annabel Lee. Mr. Adams knows it. That's correct. Who's Annabel Lee?
Mr. Poe's Annabel Lee. If you think I'm going to say you're Annabel Lee, you're crazy.
3. Who raked the meadows sweet with hay? Mr. Kerr.
Maud Muller.
Yes, who's Maud Muller?
John Greenleaf Whittier.
That's right.
I thought you were going to say Wagner.
And I thought you were going to say Shakespeare. You always do, Mr. Adams.
Well, I'm usually right.
Yeah, one part of twice. 4. Whose fair face beams in all my dreams? Whose fair face beams in all my dreams? Mr. Adams.
Whose sweet Adeline? I don't know.
And number 5, we've already won the $5. 5. Who cried, for you and you alone, I'd turn a kingdom down? For you and you alone, I'd turn a kingdom down. Mr. Duffield, do you know that? No, you don't. Mr. Kieran, you don't know that.
She was probably lying anyway.
Yes, but that's not the answer. Mr. Stowe, you don't know that?
I'm afraid I am.
Mr. Adams, you don't know that. No, he doesn't. Folks, do you know who wrote that? I'll tell you. Franklin P. Adams, and he doesn't know it. Seems to me, Mr. Adams, you forget your ladies awfully quickly when you write about them. Next question.
They come easy and go easy.
Nice to know that. Next is from Mr. Alfred Count of San Francisco. What important event and what famous person were largely responsible for introducing the bobbed hair vogue? Let's have that.
Irene Castle, I think.
Irene Castle. You know the circumstances connected to that.
Wasn't it just after the war? I mean, the World War.
Just during it, yes.
Yes, during it. Well, I don't really know why. She cut her hair, I mean.
Yes. No. You know why she did?
No.
Well, I wouldn't know either if it didn't have it out in this car.
I think it bothered her while she was dancing.
No. No, it's she set that fashion when the after effects of the fever made it necessary for her to appear on the stage with clipped hair. That's correct. The next question is from John Rogers of Kansas City, Missouri. Identify 4 out of 5 of the following. I'll read them all, and then I'll read them one by one. Strike, skate, skimmer, skink, sink. The first is strike, S-H-R-I-K-E.
Strike is a bird about, there are 3 varieties of strike.
Never mind. One more strike like that from you and you're out. Second, skate.
Skate is a fish. It's
all right, good. Don't tell us its name, family. Skimmer.
Skimmer.
S-K-I-M-M-E-R.
Skimmer is also a bird, and I can give you a... I'll stop. All right. All right.
I know you can. I know you can. Skink.
A skink is an insect. It's a small animal. It's not an insect.
No, not an insect.
It's a small animal of the...
No Latin now. No Latin.
Well, salamander type.
Yes, that little lizard type. And spink, which is not the present tense of spank, by the way, Mr. Chairman. Spink. What's a spink?
It's the sound that you get when you pluck a banjo.
Correct, but that's not the answer to this question, I'm afraid.
No, a spink is not in my bright lexicon of use.
Don't know it, eh? Well, now I'll give you a quotation, which I just remembered, which is practically used as spink.
It's what you're in. Did you ever hear of the spink of condition?
Oh, yeah.
That's no answer. either, Mr. Adams. Why, it's a primrose. The primrose. Don't you remember the famous quotation from Wordsworth? A spink by the river's brim, a yellow spink was to him, and it was nothing more. Well, I got 4 out of 5 on that. That's what we're supposed to get. The next one comes from Mary R. Vestal, 44 Langdon Street, Cambridge, Massachusetts. Kipling has said, "The female of the species is more deadly than the male." Can you quote 2 other selections, also uncomplimentary to the lady? I beg your pardon, Mrs. Snow. I had no idea I was going to have to ask this question when you were on the board this evening. Seems very inhospitable. No, any 2 other quotations. Any 2 others. Kipling is just to start you off, which are uncomplimentary to the ladies.
Sure, a rag and a bone and a hank of hair.
Yeah, that's right. Let's have another one.
Come on, Frank.
I guess you think I'm a cad.
Frank, come on, be a cad for a minute or two, will you? An uncomplimentary quotation about it, Mrs. Snow. I hate to ask you to do this. Can you remember one?
I'm thinking.
Well, that's half the battle.
And I learned about women from her.
That's complimentary. That's complimentary.
What?
That's the way he meant it, it wasn't.
Well, if it isn't complimentary, it's supplementary then.
Well,
now I'll accept that.
Called her a shiny she-devil.
Where's that from?
That's from the same poem.
I suppose that would go. Those are quite all right. I'll let them pass. Some of the others that I think are perhaps more familiar to us are Frailty, Thy Name is Woman. You remember that, don't you, Karen?
Yes, sir. That's from Hamlet.
Didn't ask you that.
And that's complimentary.
You think that's complimentary?
I do.
You like Frailty. I see.
I love it.
Another one would be, Nor Hell a Fury Like a Woman Scorned. Well, we'll have a chance for one more question. Let's see if we can get to this one very quickly. From Mr. Harold Saunders, Atlanta, Georgia. Identify the following Chinese whose names have appeared in the news in recent years. 1, Sun Yat-sen. Mr. Duffy.
Former President of China.
Yes. Henry Fuyi.
The boy emperor of Manchester.
Correct. Anime Wong. Don't get this Wong now. Anime Wong.
Very lovely actor.
Correct. Chu Te. C-H-U-T-E-H.
He's the Communist General of the 8th Rout Army.
Correct. Chiang Kai-shek.
President of the dictator of China.
Very good. First place. Thank you very much. I'm afraid that's all the questions we'll have time for tonight. Now, the total penalty, why, they're less than I thought. Only $25 lost. The kitty's been reduced by that sum. Not bad business. Thank you all members of the board, and you particularly, Mrs. Snow, thank you, and all the folks that have submitted questions. Mr. Cross now has a word for you about next week's contest. Good night, everybody, and please come again.
Thank you, Mr. Fadiman. We meet again next week at 8:30 for another quiz contest between the public and the experts. The board of experts for next week will include Mr. Franklin P. Adams, Mr. John Kieran, Mr. Marcus Duffield, and our guest will be Mr. Oscar Levant, well-known composer of popular and serious music, now here on a visit from Hollywood. Send your questions and don't forget to include the correct answers. There are no restrictions on the number you may submit. For each question chosen, you get $2. And if the board flops on that question, you get $5 more. All questions become the property of Information, Please. Questions on all subjects are welcome. History, sport, literature, music, science, movies, and so on. Make the questions interesting and amusing on subjects the experts should know and the public would like to learn about. So come on, everybody. Join our new game of quizzing and stumping the experts. Send your questions to Information, Please, the National Broadcasting Company, New York City. Until next Tuesday evening at 8:30, we bid you all good night. Thank you.